Good morning. This is Mark Mays, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Once again, it's good to be with you today, and we trust that today we can be a blessing to you and to your family. Let's ask the Lord to help us this morning as we spend a few moments together. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this day. We're thankful for the opportunity that, Lord, that we just have to live in America. What a blessing that is, to live in a land of the free. Lord, thank you so much for that. Thank you, Lord, for the bountiful rain that you've been providing for us here lately. Thank you, Father, for just all the things that you do. We can't even begin to number them, but we can pause and say thank you and acknowledge, Lord, your goodness in our life. And Lord, help us this day to look unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. May we live in such a way that you would be honored and glorified. May we be an asset and not a liability. I thank you for this day, and I pray that you'd help us in these next few moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Again this morning, I'm continuing a series that I've been on for some time. I'm going through the book of Proverbs, looking for biblical principles for practical living. I believe we live in a day and age where it is imperative that we as Christians live the principles of the Bible. Of course, it's always been that way, and I suppose that today is no more needful than it was in the past, but this is the day which we live, and so it's heightened in our awareness. And we look around us, and our world is changing, and changing rapidly, and changing drastically in many ways. And if there's ever a time, we need this. We need for God's people to be living like God's people. I understand this morning that all of us are flesh. I understand all too well that we make mistakes, and we have sin in our lives. But when we do that, we obviously need to confess it and forsake it and ask and plead God's help. Lord, create in us a clean heart, renew in us a right spirit. And so we're looking for biblical principles, things that we can put into practice. And God's people ought to be a practicing people, amen? We ought to be practicing truth. We're in Proverbs 15, we're in verse 4, the Bible says, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit." That phrase, "a wholesome tongue is a tree of life." Well, I can hardly think about the verses in the Bible that talk about the tongue and the speech and the words we use without thinking of my father. My father said to me for so many years, "Son, words give life or take it. And once you say it, you can't undo it. Be careful how you speak." Often these verses remind me of my father, and this one does as well. "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life." This is the idea of giving life with your tongue. A wholesome tongue means a proper tongue. In other words, if you use your tongue the right way, you can use it to give life. What an amazing thing this is, that you, by the very words that you speak and how you speak them, can either give or take life. How important it is that we get in control our tongue, and that it would be a wholesome tongue or a proper tongue. The Bible says at the end of that verse, "but perverseness," and that word perverseness means distortion. Therein is a breach or a fracture or a break in the spirit. And so this morning we're reminded right off the bat in Proverbs 15 verse 4, the need to have proper usage of our tongue, of our language, of our words. And it's not just the words that we say, but it's the attitude in which we display while we say them. You know, you can say the right thing the wrong way, and it's just as bad as if you said the wrong thing. God help us this morning. Especially God's people. I assume, I think safely, that the majority of the folks that are listening would be Christian folks, folks that believe in the Bible, folks who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior this morning. I realize there may be some who have not done that yet, and would to God that you would do that soon if that's you, that you'd come to know Christ as your Savior. But for the most part, we're probably a group of believers that are listening, you know, and we need to be careful how we speak. I've been around Christianity long enough to realize that Christians always don't do what they're supposed to do, and I don't either. We're all like that. And this area of our tongue is an area where often we can hurt one another. Family members can hurt one another. Husbands can hurt their wives, and wives their husbands, and parents their children, children their parents, and so on and so forth. We need to be careful this morning how we use our tongue. May God give us a wholesome tongue, a proper tongue, which is a tree of life. Let's move down to verse 5. Proverbs 15:5 says, "A fool despiseth his father's instruction, But he that regardeth reproof is prudent. That word despises means to scorn. A fool despises, or if you would, a fool scorns his father's instruction. He doesn't like to be told what to do. He doesn't like to be taken aside and be instructed. The Bible says, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. In other words, that word regardeth means to take heed or to observe. So the person who listens and takes heed and observes the reproof that's given to him or her, that's a prudent or a wise person. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:1, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. I wonder this morning, if you're listening and you're a young person, I wonder, what is your attitude when somebody comes, be it a father or somebody in authority in your life, and they begin to give you instructions or they begin to give you a reproof? Do you have a bad attitude, or is your attitude, yes, sir, thank you? Proverbs 13:18 says, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. I wonder this morning, how many people are living, if you would, in poverty, living in shame, living without, because they refuse to listen, particularly to their father or their mother when they gave them some instructions, thought they had all the answers to life's questions, thought they had it all figured out. Nobody need to tell them anything. Nobody needs to explain anything. That's their life, and I can do with it what I want to do with it. Leave me alone. Often, those attitudes end up turning one's life into poverty and shame. Proverbs 15, verses 31 through 32. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise, but he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. In Proverbs 19:20, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. And so this morning we see this verse here, a fool despises or scorns his father's instruction, but he that regards it, he that take heed, he that observes reproof is prudent. I wonder this morning, are you a wise person? Are you a prudent person who's willing to take heed and observe reproof and instructions? Can your father, your mother, can they give you instruction, young person, without you getting a bad attitude? You may say the right words to them, but your actions and your body language says everything opposite of what your words say sometimes, because your attitude is one of belligerence. Your attitude sometimes can be one of unconcern or irritation. And so here's God's word. God, let God be true and every man a liar, the Bible says, and God knows what he's talking about here. He absolutely does. A fool despises his father's instructions. And so we would be wise this morning to be willing to listen. You know, someone said years ago, everybody I meet knows something I don't, therefore everybody can be my teacher. Sometimes you run across somebody, and sometimes we act this way ourselves, that we know everything, so nobody can teach me anything because I know it all. I like my way better. But you know, the wise among us would realize, you know what, everybody knows something I don't, therefore I should allow everybody to be my teacher, because they might be able to teach me something I do not know already. No matter how wise or smart or intelligent I think I am, maybe you think you've got a degree and you've been to college and you've been living for a while, but you know what, sometimes a 60, 70 year old man can learn a lesson from a 5 or 6 year old boy on humility or sharing. Sometimes from the simplest forms of life, we can learn some of the greatest lessons, even in our old age. May God help us to do that. We turn to Proverbs 15, verse 6. The Bible teaches us here, in the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. In the house of the righteous is much treasure. Someone said this, said a man may be poor, yet possess all things. 2 Corinthians 6:10, Paul said, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Notice that phrase, and as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. A man may be poor, yet possess all things. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. You see, you don't have to be rich to possess all things. You can be poor and really possess more than the rich has. Someone said, a man may be rich, yet destitute, poor, blind, and miserable. How true that is. There are many who are rich, materially speaking, financially speaking, yet they are destitute. They are poor. They're blind. They're miserable. And, we're not talking about poor financially or blind with the eye, but they're blinded in their mindset. They're blinded in their attitude. They're miserable. You know, if we are not satisfied, we are not rich. That makes so much sense there if you stop and think about that. If we are not satisfied, we are not rich. If we are content, we are never poor. Think about that this morning. I don't know what your financial status is, but if you're not satisfied, you're not rich. But if you are content, no matter what you have or don't have, if you are content, you are never poor. A man may be rich, yet destitute, poor, blind, and miserable. Where are we this morning? God is the true and only gain of the soul. You know, we as God's creation, we have a nature which can only be satisfied with God. We're made in His image, and so our true satisfaction, our true contentment will only come when we have a proper relationship and fellowship with our Creator. To attempt to feed on anything less, to attempt to achieve anything without that, we really are wasting our time, and we're cheating ourselves, and it's a delusion that we have talked ourselves into. You know, God is the true and only gain of the soul. It really is true. You know, a lot of people can have a lot of things and be miserable, blind. But a man may not have anything much to speak of physically, materially, but he has great riches. I wonder where we are this morning. The Bible says, Proverbs 16, verse 8, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. You know, it's better to have a little and have righteousness than to have a great bounty without having righteousness in your home and your life. You know, today, boy, I tell you what, that ought to speak to Americans. We Americans, we are so spoiled. Many of us, perhaps even almost all of us, have gotten in the habit of comparing ourselves among ourselves. We say to ourselves, those of us in America, well, I'm not rich. Look at the Bill Gateses. Look at the others have so much money. I'm not rich. Look at that nice neighborhood. Look at that car. I'm not rich at all. But in reality, if we were to look at the world and not the few very well off in America, if we would look at the majority of the world and look at ourselves, we are incredibly, incredibly rich. And yet we don't think we are. It's all a matter of the perspective. But it's better to have a little with righteousness. If you don't have much and you have righteousness, you have great wealth. If you have much and no righteousness, you are a poor individual. The Bible says in Psalms 37:16, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Well, that sort of puts it in the perspective, does it not? A little that a righteous man have, just one, is better than the riches of many wicked. I trust this morning that you have many riches in Christ, though you may not have many riches in this world. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 6, better is a handful with quietness than both the hands full of travail and vexation of spirit. Better is a handful with quietness. You know, years ago when I was working in construction, mostly what I did gave me opportunities to go in a lot of people's homes that were already, I replaced windows and doors and different things. And I went into some homes that were incredibly nice homes, very materialistically speaking, very rich people. Some were very, very kind. Some were not. I've been in the homes that are very meager, very simple homes. Had to replace a door. The door had rotted out, and you know, their doors rot just like the rich man's doors rot. And so I've been into both. I've been into rich, as the world would say, and poor people's homes. And while I'm there, in the course of accomplishing the job, I hear the conversations of the family members and parents and children. There's one thing I've noticed in my observation, that it doesn't matter which home I was in, people are still people. Same problems, same habits. People are people are people, and it doesn't matter whether they're rich or poor, have much or have little, people are people are people. You know, and I found out in my observation, it's better to have just a little bit and to have the peace and to have great riches and a lot of vexation, a lot of trouble. And I've been in some homes, very nice homes, incredibly nice homes. And I've heard the fussing and the feuding. I've heard the kids sass and back talk their parents. And I often thought to myself, boy, that kid better be glad I'm not his dad. As my dad would told me years growing up, he said, son, I'll jerk a knot in your head. And I thought to myself, if that kid was my kid, I'd be jerking in a knot in his head right about now. But you know what? It doesn't matter, rich or poor. It's better is the handful with quietness than to have great hands that are full of things but have the travail and the vexation of the spirit, Ecclesiastes tells us. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10 through 14, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. Think about that. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. What we're saying, and time is gone this morning for me, is God's got some principles for us here. This particular one, in the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. May God help us to learn these principles. They're all good. They'll all help us. And may God enable them to do so this day. Thank you for listening, and you have a great day.